we've looked at, say, production so far this year. There isn't as many, say, early lambs in the system. That's a combination of fewer people at it, but also litter size. Reports are the litter size was lower last year. And like, definitely if you're to look at anyone lambing here in the second half of February or start of March, those lambs are facing challenges at the moment. Yes, they're sort of, the tribe has been pretty good, not too bad. But the big pinch point is going to come for those flocks in the next few weeks if they can't travel, get fertilizer out, if grass supplies get tight. And I think that we're probably going to see supplies, sheep supplies, remaining tight right up into well into June.
Hello, I'm Kieran Lynch, and welcome to Opicast, the Chagas Sheep Podcast. Each episode, we'll bring you latest insights, advice, and technical updates for the sheep industry. In this week's episode, I'm joined by Darren Carty, Sheep and Schemes Editor with Irish Farmers Journal, to talk about the corn sheep trade. Darren talks about the hoggett trade this spring, the start of early lamb hit the market, and niche markets for milk lamb. We discuss what's driving the trade, what's happening in international markets, and we speculate what may be in store for the coming months. We finish up discussing the cull yoke trade and weighing up the option of selling marts versus direct arbitrage. Now, with prices hitting new highs, we start off chatting about the trade at the moment.
I suppose, Kieran, if you're to look at it, it's one of the real good news stories. I was talking to a sheep farmer to Mark this week, and he was giving out about the weather, obviously, unsurprisingly, that he was lambing at home. And he said all he can hope is that this translates into a good trade for stores next back in, or that we can live on the coattails of this trade for a while, because a lot of the sheep that are moving at the moment are moving maybe from store lamb finishers, or maybe not the people that are lambing down the lambing the ewes at the minute, but like, it has given some lift and optimism to the sector.
No, look, it's a high starting point for the year, but it's important, just as you touched on there, like, it's a whole cycle, so it is, hopefully that will carry through to the store lamb trade back in the year. That a lot will depend on. Let's put a little bit of this in context. We're mainly talking about hoggett trade being killed this spring, as you indicated there, it's largely the bigger finishers. Where are we at, Darren, vis-a-vis previous years? Just maybe put a few numbers around this.
Yeah, so if we're to look maybe, say, week on week, which is the most immediate, hoggett prices are running 180 to 2 euros a kilo above, say, the corresponding week last year. Now, that's not exactly fair, say, to look at that in isolation, because if we think that we're heading into Easter week now, so if we're getting the boost of Easter. So if we compare it to, say, the trade 2 weeks later in 2023, or the week leading into Easter, you're looking at about sort of 170 to 180 a kilo above the Easter trade last year. So very significant, Kieran. Like, if you look at on the 23 kilo carcass, you're probably heading for 40 euros ahead. The live trade is 40 euros ahead, higher than this time last year. If you're to look at maybe and take one step back and look from the start of the year, because this, I suppose, the sharpest of this increase has happened over the last 5, 6, 7 weeks. But as a whole, sort of prices are running close to 70 cent a kilo above, say, for the year to date. So like, it is very significant here in the price increase we've seen.
Like, at the moment, that price difference, that's covering the feed costs essentially and finishing those hoggets, or most of the feed costs anyway.
Oh, definitely. Like, if you look at, say, average prices since the start of the year, Bourbier's analysis would show that it's over 7, say, 30 kilo. That's leaving out, say, the VAT rate top-up. So you're looking at even at meal where it's at, any hog that's been fed or finished intensively are covering, say, their daily cost again, and they're delivering a profit margin anywhere from, say, 30 to 40% over the cost of feed, even more depending on the class of lamb you've got. And the real lamb, I suppose, that is delivering at the moment is those light hill lambs that were bought for very small money. We talked, I think, last November about how the trade was on the floor for, say, hill and crossbred lambs. Those lambs have left a very significant margin for the people that are handling those. Now, look, they've been long-keep lambs. The people that have bought them in, there's been a lot of work with them. They deserve the turn. But they're the ones, I suppose, that are leaving the real margins. I was talking to a sheep farmer earlier on this week, and he said he bought light lambs less than 30 kilos. He bought them for somewhere around, he said, between 60 and 85 euros. And he's killing them at the moment, he said, between sort of 160 and over 200 euros a head. So, like, that's sort of, I suppose, maybe scenario will hopefully stand the trade next back in, and particularly maybe bring out a bit more buyers for stores earlier on in the year, and possibly benefit the hill sheep sector, which didn't really get the boost from this. I suppose this, a lot of the hill sheep farmers' lambs would have been gone at low prices. So for anyone that's kept lambs, yes, fine. But in general, it should hopefully ring true to a better store trade.
Look, I'm sure the ones that finish them will definitely say they need it. And look, we have to, I suppose, put that in context. If we look back 5 or 6 months ago, there is a long keep on them. There's risks with it as well. But like, the trade was very different last back end. It was challenging. And as you said, hopefully this now will carry through, and hopefully they'll go back into the market with a bit more backing behind them.
Definitely. And we've seen that in recent years. We've seen there was a few years there where there was a nice turn, say, from people that bought lambs in, say, September, October, November, and in particular that had them out, say, in March and April. The big difference this year is the how early the prices have increased. And we'd always say that maybe January and February prices in recent years have followed and maybe a steady or a sort of stagnant line. There might have been a small bit of an increase. And then as you'd head into March or get closer to Easter, there would be, say, maybe a substantial price rise. This year, the trend is bet all. Like, your prices have been rising sharply since the start of February. And that has all come on a real tightness in supply. Like, when prices really started to increase, it was all driven by the supply-demand balance. Now, the higher prices is now starting to attract out more sheep. There's your haggis being killed. But it's only in the last sort of week or 2 weeks that the kill has sort of came back in line with last year's level or even above last year. That previous to that, even when prices were a euro to maybe 1 euro, 20 a kilo higher, your kill was still running 10 to 15%, even 20% in, I think it is, in 1 week behind 2023 throughput level. So it's really, I suppose, the dynamics in supply and demand have been really on the favour of farmers this year.
When we look back at what's fed into that, okay, we had Ramadan, we have an earlier Easter. That, from a market point of view, has certainly changed our demand slightly earlier. But, right, bad year last year, we've talked about several times, carryover lambs, probably a bit of a question mark there, Darren. Did we have the carryover lambs? I know we haven't the census figures yet, but did we have the carryover lambs with all we had? Like, considering, I suppose it's fresh in everybody's memory with challenging weather at the moment, but last year's lambing was very difficult. Was there the numbers there? Is that part of what's feeding into it?
Yeah, we wrote about this, I think it was the second or third week of January, and we had previously written about it, say, at the end of December, and we said that the numbers weren't there. This was coming, I suppose, maybe from talking to different industry people, from processors to yourselves, to advisors out on the ground. And like, it looked like the numbers weren't going to be there. Then Borbia had a prediction in the meat market seminar that the kill would be 40,000 higher for the start of this year. And there was real, I suppose, maybe significant question marks around that. Now, that might yet materialise, but it's not looking likely here. Like, if we look at where the lamb and hogget kill is, there's about, say, 500,000. I think we passed 500,000 hoggets killed last year. That's running about 8,000 head, I think, below the previous year. And that has came on the back of the high prices attracting your hoggets into the system. And there isn't that real big numbers of, say, light lambs out on farms. We definitely know that the kill, say, through January and the start of February was influenced by weather. That, I suppose, influenced by a couple of things. Weather was one. The debacle caused by the development, and that's the best way it can be described, around cover crops and, say, the lieback rules. That's seen an awful lot less cover crops going in, cover crops going in late. And with the weather, cover crops did very poorly. So that definitely stagnated lamb thrive, lamb performance. And we did see that there was less lambs coming through. But I do think here that there just is less lambs there. Like, that if we look at the census figures for December 2022, we would have been taking 30,000 to 35,000 ewes out of the national block. We would have had, I think, less maybe ewe haggis, say, going into flocks last year. And I would I'd put a stab on that when the census for 2020, December 23 comes out, I say, Kieran, we'd at least be down another 30,000 ewes, if not 50,000 ewes. And if you took them two things together, you'd be saying this, the production potential that we've had isn't there. If we also have to look at this in December, say December, January, February, March last year, weather was very good in January and February, brought a lot more sheep onto the system. But after that, weather was challenging around lambing, and I think that there was higher lamb mortality maybe than what people thought. So my own predictions is that the lamb numbers are there. I think that if we do match, say, last year's kill, which was in itself a very high point over the last decade, that a lot of that will have came from farmers drafting hoggets out of the system, which long term will impact the number of sheep into the national ewe flock.
And you just touched on the like we're talking about ewe hoggets coming up, we're talking about replacement ewe hoggets, maybe people adding up and saying, look at feed cash out, McKay when the sun shines. I know there's implications of that, but it's likely at the, where the price is at that we're going to see a few more replacements killed, and that's going to have a carryover effect as well.
Definitely. Like, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago where there was a real bit of life in the autumn breeding sales. And I remember Tullow, Boris, the mule sales. There was a couple of sort of the high profile sales that everyone looks to every year. There was hoggets made, I think the top sort of grade hoggets were up on 250, 260. There was one sale, I think the first sale in both of those places, the average price was nearly at 200 euros a head. But if you left them sales aside in those years, and if you went back into the normal sale of whether it be in a normal weekly mart and 200 hoggets on offer, the trade in those, there was a massive difference from the weekly trade for hoggets in those sales and the trade for the, I suppose, maybe in the special sales. Now, there is what really, I suppose, brought it home that time was that there was a certain price point that a lot of farmers were willing to go to. And once you went to 200 euros a head, there was very few people to push on after that for replacements. They either did without, they kept their own ewe lambs, or they maybe cut numbers. And I think that that factor is still there. There is some people looking at the moment and saying that if there's ewe hoggets, less ewe hoggets in the country next autumn, it will have an impact on the trade. Yes, definitely it will. Average prices will be higher. But I don't know whether the price rise will be sufficient to have maybe sustained or maybe to give a payback for retaining poor quality hoggets. And every year we see there's a percentage of poor quality hoggets that are kept, and they're the ones that should be killed at the moment because they'll all struggle. Your good quality hogget, even in a bad year, will sell well. But like anyone looking at their sheep at the moment and looking to see what they draft, like I think that those poor quality hoggets, if you're to put in a ewe hogget, say now, at an average price of 185 to 190, we're just saying that they're not maybe as targeted for with the same flesh cover. Like, it's very hard not to add 20 to 25, 30 euros a cost to that animal from now until next August or September. And like, it's very questionable then whether the return will be there. Definitely, I think that your ewe hogget that is very good seller, large framed, hits all the bells and whistles, that they'll sell away fine. But I think the farmers are right, and it's prudent in their approach in looking at drafting off the bottom grade. And then we hear stories of farmers in a dry hogget system that are taking a significant number of sheep out of the system, and that they're looking at possibly going back buying, purchasing ewes and lambs, purchasing cull ewes. So I suppose it'll take a few weeks before we know exactly the impact of this on hogget numbers.
Yeah, but then I suppose quality pays, and some have to weigh up the options of where do they go with their system. And look, it's there. Look, maybe in more general terms, I know we're talking real high point at the moment, and we often talk down sheep enterprises. But if you look at store lambs over the last 5, 10 years, like in terms of finishing down, it's a viable enterprise relative to others we see in dry stock.
If you go and look at, say, the people that are buying light store lambs that have the facilities to keep them on a normal year until definitely into, say, well into February, March, some of those systems are leaving more than the person who has been lambing the ewe and bringing lambs to the finish in recent years. And like, if we take Yes, last year the margins would have been, excuse me, the margins were well tightened by the high price of concentrates. But like, if you look at the last 5 years, 4 or the last 5 years, Kieran, there has been a nice margin left from finishing stall lambs, particularly where you could incorporate grass or forage crops into the system, that you could bring that, say, light stall lamb, develop a frame cheaply, and then finish intensively. And like, those systems have stacked up, like, 4 or the last 5 years, is there, they've stacked up against beef finishing systems, they've stacked up against, say, primary lamb production. And it's easy to see why there has been more farmers, I suppose, maybe coming specialized in that system.
Look, it's not going to be for everybody, but it is something that could be considered. Particularly, look, maybe workload, other things are becoming a challenge in spring. It's a viable alternative. Look, we talked a lot about the hoggets because I suppose if we look back, talked over the last 5 or 10 years, the trade has really shifted to hoggets. Spring lamb quotes are starting to come in for. Where has that started at, Darren? What are we looking at with number wise?
Yeah, so it's probably will take until next week to materialize. So the numbers this week, you're in, say, less than 1,000 spring lambs killed. In some sales or in some mart sales, you've had maybe 20, 30, 40 spring lambs, just very small numbers, a few, say, heavier type lambs. The trade in the marts has started very brightly. Like, I've heard reports, and we've seen, say, the sale reports coming in through the system here, 40 kilos, anywhere from sort of 180 to over 200 euros a head. A few very fancy prices in the marts that would have that sort of specialist butcher or wholesale trade. Lambs 40, heavy lambs 47, 48, 49 kilos, killing into, or sorry, selling anywhere from sort of 230 to 250 a kilo. Top price I heard was Tullow at 259 euros for 49 kilo lambs. They had 50 kilos selling at 250. They had, I think, 47 kilos over 230. So, like, it'll be interesting to see in the week coming where there's higher numbers of, say, spring lambs on, do those prices stay? Because if those prices stay here, well, then they leave factory prices well behind. Like, if the factory quotes this week are 9 euros plus 20 cent a kilo for, say, a spring lamb, the prices for what has been sold in the market this week, you'd want upwards of 10 euros a kilo to have any hope of equating or having the same margin. I think there is a message in that too, like, for definitely for the start of the season, or definitely for next week, is the farmers need to look carefully to see where is the best outlet. Do they go to the mart or do they go to the factory? And I know it is easy for me to say, right, do you go to the mart? There's a lot of part-time, say, sheep farmers out there that it might suit. But what we also have to look at as well is that the advent of, say, online sales, and also that when the trade is that good, Kieran, there's a lower likelihood of sheep going into the market, not being happy with the price, and they're coming home out of it. And I'd say the same thing in particular for cull ewes. Now, we can talk about that in a few minutes, but I think that definitely farmers need to look at what type of animal they have on hand. If it's that real nice sort of young lamb that will sell well to butchers, well, then that might be the outlet, is the mart trade. And also, if we look at it, agents are paying and have been paying above the odds for hoggets and lambs. Like, the mart trade has been trending probably slightly ahead of the factory trade for a lot of this spring.
You touched on that, like even with the hoggets, it has been kind of leading the pack, so it has. And I suppose to be cognizant, like unless you have a bit of bargaining power or you're putting in numbers, the mart might provide a more viable option in certain cases.
Yes, definitely certain cases. And like, I know there is a lot, say, of even you take trading through a producer group and you can get the bonus, say, payment, or there might be transport costs. Yes, those systems, they're very convenient. So you wouldn't be, say, thinking for 1 second of going again that. But I suppose it's where you're coming in your small numbers and you're trading at the opening quotes. Like, the opening quotes, in particularly in the last sort of 10 days, with the exception of Kildare Chilean, haven't been in reality to the prices that are going. So I think this farmers need to know the value of what their stock is and be willing to sort of fight tooth and nail for that. And if not, well, then be prepared maybe to go to the mart trade. But looking at, say, where prices are, it's funny. So I looked earlier on this morning, and the differential between the spring lamb and hogget trade last year, heading into Easter, was around a euro a kilo. So hoggets would have been At sort of around 650, 670 a kilo. Spring lamb, I think, costs around 755 a kilo. That your differential in the general quotes has narrowed slightly. So if we look at this week, just say ICM, they're quoting 820 a kilo on haggis. They were quoting €9 of a base on spring lamb. So that differential has gone down to 80 cent. It's even gone down to 60 or 70 cent in some of the other plants. So like the spring lamb hasn't been secured or to date hasn't been offered in the factories the same differential over say haggis. Now some of the processors will argue that look at it, it's at such a high price point that there isn't much more that it can go. But for the people who are feeding spring lambs, and particularly in a challenging year, and have spring lambs available, I think that they have to be rewarded again because there's such a small number that have been that I say consistently producing that high quality product that if they feel that they're not being rewarded for their effort, well then we're going to see a continued reduction. And like the numbers are small. Like you're looking the week leading into Easter last year, you were looking at 1,800 spring lambs. The previous week, 1,700 spring lambs, and that's being cognizant that's Easter is taking place about 10 days later. I would say that if we hit 1,500, 1,700 spring lambs next week, you might be at the outer end of it here, let's say.
Like that decline has been consistent relative to what's happened in the haggis trade. That has been consistent over the last number of years. And as you just indicated there, at that price differential, it's a hard argument to make sometimes.
Yes, Kieran, you're dead right. Like it's very hard to argue, but thankfully this year that the prices that are going for spring lamb, and I think there will be a bit more of an ease next week. I think factory prices will have to say increase to be able to attract higher numbers forward. But that's at a level that is rewarding spring lamb producers, and that has been very important to keep those to keep that level of confidence in the system, and keep the people, the small number that are at it, keep them I suppose maybe in that system.
Look, we might come back to the price just briefly in a moment. Milk lamb, Darren, there's quotes going out for that too. Maybe just as an explainer, what is milk lamb, just for the listeners?
Yeah, so very niche product. Generally for the Portuguese, Spanish, and Italian market, it's a carcass from 10 kilos to 13 and a half kilos. So you're generally drafting your lambs somewhere between 20 kilos and 28 kilos to deliver that, say, carcass. There's none of it eaten here, Kieran. So if generally in Spain or in Italy in particular, for Easter, the big, I suppose, maybe luxury is that is buying that carcass and being able to cook that carcass. It's a bit like Christmas and the turkey here in Ireland, so this. So it's a small niche market, but we've seen the production has fallen in Spain, production has fallen in Italy, and as in recent years, there has been a growing trend to increase demand for that. Prices are €10 a kilo. Suits some people have gone into a system maybe of lambing down cull ewes maybe early and then killing the lamb and the cull ewe at an early age before that lamb really starts to mortal through meal. And it's not a system that's say replicable across a lot of farms, but definitely it's one it's I suppose it is that niche as you describe it.
Yeah, it's kind of a system suits an all-out system from it.
Exactly. I don't think that there wouldn't be too many other systems in it because you've a ewe there that you're not getting maybe the full potential or a lamb, but it suits some systems that way.
Yeah, just an interesting aspect of the market. Look, I suppose just in terms of price down, maybe casting it a bit broader, we're not the only country experiencing high price at the moment. Where are we ranking vis-a-vis our competitors?
Yeah, I suppose we've seen a higher price increase than what other countries have. So we normally would say that France is the best place to sell lamb in Europe. That is typically been one of the highest price markets, taking volume. Leave aside, the highest price is generally going to be in, say, Switzerland or in parts of Germany will return, say, the highest value. But when you take, say, the country that takes a lot of volume, France is generally where we look at. Price there at the moment is 883 a kilo. That's running generally less than €1 a kilo ahead of the same time last year. In comparison, if you take the Irish price, what we said we're about 170 to 180 a kilo, but the real one that's standing out is prices in Britain at the moment. The price on the 11th of March 2023 in Britain was at the equivalent of 5.71 a kilo. On the 9th of March 24, it was at 8.71 a kilo, so €3 a kilo higher. And that's coming from a real tightness in supplies across the water. And in particular, there's been huge demand from the Ramadan festival. So if we look at where the Islamic population is across Europe, there's a significant number in Britain, there's a significant number in Germany, significant number in Belgium, and prices there have been flying as they have, and that's showing it there, €3 a kilo higher. Spain, we've seen prices ease actually. The Spanish price on the turn of the year was probably up around sort of 870-880 a kilo. That has reduced back. That's now at 805 a kilo compared to 712 a kilo last year. And the reason for that is that a lot of milk and sheep systems in Spain, that there would be some lacoon lamb coming onto the system now, so you wouldn't have the same maybe intensity. And in Northern Ireland, prices are similar to here. They're about 180 a kilo higher, almost at €8 a kilo versus €6 last year. And then prices in Europe are, I suppose, the panacea across the globe. That if you were to look at, say, the trade, if you were in New Zealand or an Australian sheep farm at the moment, you'd be looking with some envy, so you would to Europe. The price of lamb in Australia, despite it rallying a bit around, say, December, January, has fallen well back. So at the start of March, or the, say, 10 days into March, the Australian lamb price was 381 a kilo. That compares to 462 the same week in 2023 and 523 in 2022. So like they have fallen by over 150 a kilo, and that's coming. It's the exact same thing, supply and demand. Australian sheep flock is at one of its high levels. It will export its highest level of sheep meat if, say, predictions follow through in 2024. They already had a record export volumes in 2023. February 2024 has been the highest monthly exports on record in Australia. Like, so that shows just how much sheep meat they're pumping out onto the market. And that has had real implications for the New Zealand's sheep sector. If we're to look at the New Zealand sheep prices at the moment, they're only at 344 kilo. That compares to 415 in 2023 or 518 in 2022. And there's a lot of worry in New Zealand at the moment about sheep numbers plummeting or falling significantly this year, because at those prices, farmers are experiencing significant losses. And there's nothing, I suppose, maybe to show a short-term improvement or a short-term turnaround. I suppose there's a lot of global dynamics at play around China, Australia, New Zealand, the US, Chinese sheep production. While imports have improved and imports did, say, rally a bit in 2023, they're still not at anywhere near the level of what they were a few years ago. So in 2023, China would have imported around 400,000 tons of sheep meat. That was up from about 350,000 tons in 2022. But it's probably down about 15% from, say, over the last 5 years. Australia has been really pushing for the Chinese market. So in 2023, Australia exported nearly 600,000 tons of sheep meat. That was less than 500,000 tons in the previous year. So to put it in context, we exported about 72,000 tons of sheep meat last year. So essentially, Australia has put more than the total exports on Ireland onto the global market last year, and would be expected to increase on that in 2024. And New Zealand just can't compete. They can't compete in, say, this gaining the same market access. Australia have been able to, I suppose, maybe going in, and they have the higher volumes to be able to offer. They have had good trade and avenues into the US, and it has really had an impact on the New Zealand sheep sector. And I'd say we're probably going to see a significant fall off in sheep production in New Zealand this year if that doesn't improve. And that in itself is probably helping prices in Europe as well, is this the reduction in export volumes in New Zealand in recent years just is, I suppose, leaving them with less potential to fill the EU. Now, I was asked an interesting question last week when we were talking about these prices, and someone said, why isn't New Zealand and Australia flooding the EU market? And there's a lot of other, I suppose, maybe trade dynamics at the moment. There's a cost of transport. There's, I suppose, maybe difficulties in shipping lanes, particularly through some regions where, as we know, there's war is a big picture at the moment. And that is just, I suppose, maybe reducing the attractiveness of New Zealand targeting that, say, European market. Now, there's no doubt that there will be volumes coming in, and I'd say we probably will see an increase in volumes coming in the months ahead. But Australia is limited by tariff-free quotas, and that's thankfully at the moment what's keeping the lid on, that we're not seeing more, say, volumes of sheep meat coming from Australia into Europe.
That dynamic, it does create an opportunity for us over the coming months. But as you said, like, if things change slightly, you know, that can have a big shift on it as well.
Well, definitely, like, there's no doubt, and the big fear, particularly the big fear in the UK at the moment, is that say the free trade agreement that Australia has done with, say, Britain since they left the EU, that over the next 10 years they can import up to 75,000 tons without paying any tariff. And there is, I suppose, maybe concerns across Europe is that we could see higher volumes of sheep, Australian sheep meat, targeting the, say, the British market. Britain will be, I suppose, maybe welcoming of some of that, because the historic, I suppose, or traditional sort of focus in the UK has been a sort of cheap food policy, but it also allows them to export some of the higher value product onto the EU market. And there is some concerns around that. Now, we haven't seen it. If Chinese, say, sheep meat consumption recovers, or recovers to a level of where it was at a few years ago, there's going to be absolutely no worry around any of this, because there won't be enough sheep meat on the market to be able to service all the markets. And in particular, I suppose, what's driving the trade at the moment across Europe is where sheep production has gone to. So in 2023, sheep production was down 7%. That's a massive fall right across Europe. That's been driven by, I suppose, there's a lot of talk around maybe climate change in some of the Mediterranean countries. We've seen significant drought in Spain, in Italy, having an impact on sheep meat production. Romania was a country that was increasing its sheep flock for a few years there. Production there fell 7% last year. France production fell by another 8% despite record sheep prices. Production in Greece was down by nearly 10%. They're a big, say, milk sheep production country. So, like, if you were to take all of that together, the only countries that really increased production last year, Ireland increased by about 2.5%. The Netherlands increased by about 10%, but they have a tiny sheep flock. Belgium increased by a small bit, but they only produced about 7,000 tons of sheep meat last year. So when you look at it, the main powerhouses of sheep production across Europe, production is plummeting. So production has fallen at an alarming rate in the UK. It's fallen at an alarming rate in Spain, Romania, France. And that's something that all forecasts would say, that production will continue to fall by anywhere from 1% to 3% more in 2024. So for those that are staying in sheep production, you'd have to say that there will be definitely keen demand for sheep meat right across Europe.
I'm going to ask the question, you know, just from another angle. From the consumer perspective, is the price going to have a slight impact down on consumption, or have we seen that in any trends like that previously?
Yeah, we have a very good question, Kieran, because we have to be realistic about this as well. Now, I, for one, am talking down the price of sheep meat, but we do have to be cognizant of that it could have implications on consumption longer term. That, in particular, if we look at over the last decade and you take, say, New Zealand had a tariff-free quota of over 227,000 tons of sheep meat that they're able to export into Europe. Half of that is now still with Europe, half of it has gone with Britain. But when they were filling that quota, it was a volume of, say, cheap product that was coming onto the market, and that was finding a home. Yes, it was keeping down prices everywhere, but it meant that there was more, say, volumes of sheep meat being sold. Over the last 5 years, if you look at consumption across Europe, and higher prices definitely have, I suppose, maybe a role in this, change in consumer habits has as well, but price has a factor in that consumption has fallen by over 50,000 tons. Like, that to me is a very alarming and worrying figure, in that if you take this right across the EU, you've taken 50,000 tons of sheep meat consumption out of the market. Like, it's a sizable, sizable figure. The most recent, I suppose, the best analysis that would have been done looking at the relative impact of price and consumption would have been carried out in Britain a few years ago, and continues to be. So they would be looking a lot at Kantar data. And when we've seen, I suppose, maybe a significant price increase from 20 to 2021 and 2022 against the backdrop of concerns around, say, consumer spending, food inflation, we've seen the consumption fell by just close to 20% in Britain, which was a real important market, say, for sheep meat. So that just, I suppose, maybe shows the impact that it can have. Now, at the same time, what you also have to state is that that's one side of the barrier, that if you look on the other side and you say the sheep farmers aren't making money, that they can't stay in production, and that that has to be looked at as well. And definitely it has, but we can't obviously forget that there is, I suppose, maybe a price point of where you'd like to see it to get there, and not have an impact on consumption. That if you were to ask any sheep farmer, I'd say at the moment, they'd probably say that if there was a steady, say, return right across the year, that gave a return to primary lamb producers, gave a return to store finishers, that it might be a situation that would be maybe preferable. But look, at any time we get a price increase, we'll take it.
No, I think it's an important point just to consider. Look, you touched on it earlier, I'm not going to hold you much longer there. And the cull ewe trade, here's probably where we see the biggest differential between the mart and the factory trade. Where is it at the moment?
Yeah, a differential is massive at the moment, Kieran. Like, if you look at, it's only 3 weeks ago where you were talking about mart sales and you were talking about sort of isolated cases of, say, cull ewes weighing 90 to 100 kilos upwards passing the 200 euro mark. I looked at a sale report that came in the other day, and there was more ewes weighing 86 to 100 kilos over 200 euros than what there was under 200 euros. And that just gave a perspective that there's a real, I suppose, maybe solid appetite at the moment for heavy fleshed ewes, either for, say, niche carcass, say, domestic contracts, or for export and live. And just to flesh that out a small bit, so what we have, I suppose, is you have your five main export orientated plants. You have your Kildare, your Dawn, two ICMs, and Keepak. Leaving those aside, what you have is, say, some small abattoirs that are filling niche market demand in France or in Italy for those real good, say, quality your carcasses. And on top of that, then you have real good quality, say, yours being exported live to Scotland and England to avail of the trade over there. Because while we think the your trade is hot here, it's maybe 50, anywhere from 15% to 30% higher in Britain. So there is a return to be got there from the shippers that are working at that. And then if you're to say, that's the top end, right? But if you're to look at the, as you come down along through, say, the grade as well, the mart trade has, for your typical 75-80 kilo ewe, has been outperforming the factory trade right since the turn of the year and continues to do so. Yes, factory costs have increased. I see that some plants now are offering 360, 370 a kilo for ewes. But like, if you're to look at the live trade, is ahead of that gear, and particularly for fleshed ewes. Different maybe for animals that are presented maybe with a poor cover or flesh or that, but like, it's something that has to be taken into account. And I'd even be sort of saying that farmers should be grading and targeting their ewes for where they go to. Like, that if you have, say, maybe some lighter ewes that wouldn't be or as good a seller in the market, well, then you can go to the factory with those. But definitely, if you're in the territory of maybe exceeding the carcass weight limits, which range from 40 to 46 kilos, well, that, to me, that you should be ended up in the market, because whether it be a factory agent that's buying her to go into the factory and get full weight, or someone to buy her for, say, killing in a local abattoir or wholesale, or for sort of live export, there's the difference between night and day between the prices paid in the factory and the market at the moment.
You just have that bit more competition and bite the market for it. Look, it's good having you on. You went through a hell of a lot of stuff for us. I suppose it's nice to start off a year on a high point and a good news story. And like, at that price point, Darren, I suppose a lot will be kind of looking at the lambing at the moment, to be looking forward and saying, look, If we're starting here, it's going to come down, but it's a higher starting point than previous seasons. It possibly has a bit more optimism in the market.
Definitely, like, look, there's no doubt here that probably what we're going to see is we're going to see factories trying to bring, I think anyway, a significant readjustment to the trade after Ramadan. But you would question how much prices can be got back before the tap just turns off on your hoggets. Because if you bring down the price to a certain amount, people that are considering, say, maybe killing or drafting off their ewe hoggets as opposed to keeping them, they'll just turn around in and keep them and take the chance for the back end of the year. We've looked at, say, production so far this year. There isn't as many, say, early lambs in the system. That's a combination of fewer people at it, but also litter size. Reports are the litter size was lower last year. And, like, definitely, if you're to look at anyone lambing here in the second half of February or start of March, those lambs are facing challenges at the moment. Yes, they're sort of, the tribe has been pretty good, not too bad, but the big pinch point is going to come for those flocks in the next few weeks if they can't travel, get fertilizer out, if grass supplies get tight. And I think that we're probably going to see supplies, sheep supplies, remaining tight right up into well into June. If we look back at last year's trend, there was hoggets killed right into July. And I think we're looking at the same scenario this year.
It's certainly not starting off much different.
No, it is all, I suppose, maybe the signs of it. And then if you take into account the fewer spring lambs, hoggets are going to be wanted for a long time yet.
Look, certainly been interesting. Darren, really appreciate your time. Thanks very much for coming on us.
You're very welcome, Kieran.
We'll leave it there for this week's episode. Darren's got a lot of ground in that podcast on the trade at the moment. Looks certainly good to see it at the high point. Hopefully it remains that way for the coming months. And we'll see a bit of a knock-on impact on the store lamb trade this back end. That's it for me for this episode. For updates on the sheep programme, keep an eye on our Twitter page, at Chaga Sheep. I'm Kieran Lynch. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe and follow us for more episodes.